ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. सो लेट अस सी द कठोपनिषद मंत्रास. We are seeing how Upanishad repeatedly glorifies knowledge. Why? Only then we will be reminded of the value of knowledge, so that our commitment to the pursuit of knowledge will be possible. How many of our times we listen, it is the knowledge of the self, it is the knowledge of the truth. It is this knowledge of the self, the knowledge of the truth alone will help a person discover the freedom which is already there. And the freedom from the unwanted sorrow is, in fact, discovery of freedom is discovery of one's own nature, one's own sorupam being fullness. It is only in the wake of the knowledge of this one's own nature, once the absolute peace is, otherwise there's no way of freeing oneself from this bondage of samsara. We don't even know what is bondage of samsara. How can we think of freeing ourselves from bondage of samsara? That is why it is always said freedom from unhappiness is nothing but this claiming happiness as one's own nature, taking ownership of happiness, which is already there as one's own nature, for which one needs to discover the truth. Freedom from unhappiness is being happy, which is happiness is, in fact, freedom from samsara while living. So here we have seen already, if the knowledge of the self is the only means of discovering freedom, how to discover that self? How to discover the truth? How to discover Brahma? So this all pervasive, abstract, subtlest reality has to be discovered, has to be recognized, has to be arrived at only as one's own essential nature. How the reality should be arrived at as one's own nature? That is what is this being discussed in these mantras. Okay, we see here the seventh mantra. I'm going to just read the seventh mantra, then we go to the next mantras. Indriyebhyah param mano manasasattvam uttamam sattvadadhi mahanatma mahato vyaktam uttamam. So this is how this all pervasive, absolute, subtlest reality is available for recognition as one's own self. How we can arrive at as one's own self? It is said, what is Atma here? This Atma is the absolute. There's nothing beyond Atma. Atma is beyond everything. So, in these seventh and eighth mantras together, Atma being the truth which is beyond everything, and Atma, the truth, is the ultimate, that there's nothing beyond this Atma. So we have to start from the external world also. This external world of, when you see it, this eighth mantra also, avyakta tu parah purusho vyapako linga evacha yam jnatva muchyate jantuhu amrutattvam cha gachyati. So here, the external world of objects, however vast and great and big, inexplicable it is, still so what? This universe is very much dependent on these subtle sense powers, which are the lights which illumine this external world of fivefold objects. Therefore, the sense powers are superior to the external world of objects, including one's physical body. And even the sense powers themselves cannot be functional. They're dependent on the conscious mind to be backed to become functional. Therefore, from the standpoint of the sense powers, mind is superior because the thoughts have to arise. And each mental thought, each thought has to back up its respective sense power to make the sense power functional, conscious and sentient, to be capable of functioning as the illuminator of its respective object. And even this mind, attention must be there. Otherwise, the thoughts can be behind the sense powers. Still, there must be knowledge. Therefore, buddhihi, individual intellect, is superior to this mind also. Intellect is superior because there must be self-consciousness. There must be knowledge of one's own existence first. Mere thoughts, mental thoughts, which back up the sense organs alone, will not be enough. There must be, first of all, knowledge of one's own self-existence. For one to have the knowledge of the external world of objects through the perception. Therefore, buddhi, the intellect, is superior to one's own mind. What is beyond the mind is intellect. And what is beyond intellect is intellect. Individual intellect is part of the cosmic intellect. The samashti, which is called mahattattvam or mahanatma. In this, the word mahanatma in the mantra actually means mahattattvam. Mahattattvam means cosmic intellect. Why? An individual intellect cannot be there without the cosmic intellect being around. Therefore, cosmic intellect is superior to the individual intellect. And what is beyond the cosmic intellect? What is superior to the cosmic intellect is avyaktam. What is avyaktam? Inexplicable, unmanifest, subtlest power of knowing. Otherwise said to be unmanifest power of knowing, unmanifest nature of knowing of the reality is avyaktam. Otherwise said to be maya. It's also known as avyakritihi. Avyaktam, I'm repeating this, avyaktam, avyakritihi, pradhanam, maya, all these are, and even prakritihi. Prakritihi, all these are word synonyms implying the unmanifest power of knowing, avyaktam. Now, the eighth mantra, he says, avyaktatu paraha purushaha. What is avyaktam? Unmanifest power of knowing. And when the power of knowing remains unmanifest, that is known as avidya or anandamayaha koshaha or ignorance, avidya, total ignorance. When there is no knowledge of self-existence, when there's no knowledge of the existence of the world, what is there is total ignorance. What is total ignorance? Total ignorance is nothing but the power of knowing remaining unmanifest is said to be avidya. And that's also known as anandamayaha koshaha. Why? Because when there's total ignorance, there is no pain. There's no experience of any emotion. There's no pain. There's only experience of bliss. In total ignorance, there is bliss. Therefore, it's also known as anandamayaha koshaha. So that is subtle, much subtler. And what is, there is avyaktam, which you can experience in deep sleep state. You have to understand avyaktam in terms of total ignorance, which you can experience in deep sleep state, the blankness. And avyaktatu paraha purushaha. And here, this all pervasive, all filling, abstract reality implied by the term purushaha, the atma, is even beyond, superior to avyaktam. Why? Because the knower of total ignorance, the knower of bliss, the knower of blankness is distinct, though not distant, distinct from the avyaktam, unmanifest power. Avyaktam is equal to ignorance, total ignorance. The total ignorance is known. There's a knower. And who is that knower? you can understand there is a knower you cannot deny. There is a knower of total ignorance. There's a knower of avyaktam, the total of unmanifest power of knowing. And that knower, of course, you can understand, is a knower. That knower is formless, abstract, inexplicable, and indescribable. That knower is, this is that subtlest reality. And in terms of its nature of knowing, you say the reality is implied by the term jnanam, knowledge, or pure consciousness, or pure awareness. Therefore, that Atma obtaining as a surupam of the knower, available as the knower for recognition, is Purushaha, and he is superior to even the Avyaktam. What is beyond Avyaktam? The knower of Avyaktam is beyond Avyaktam and superior to Avyaktam. And what is beyond the Purusha? Nothing. Purusha is beyond everything. And therefore, Vyapakaha Alingaha Eva. Okay. So here, Alingaha. Alingaha, literally the word lingam means, sometimes it means clue, a hint. But here, Alingaha means completely it's there's no attribute. You cannot give any clue to arrive at Atma. Therefore, it has no attribute. Absolutely attributeless, formless, abstract, inexplicable, indescribable, subtlest reality, available as the knower of that avyaktam, knower of ignorance. And that reality, Alingaha, and one has to take that formless, abstract reality as the content of I. That is where I should be resolved finally. So I am consciousness. I itself am consciousness, available, obtaining as the knower of the avyaktam. And it is that Atma, knowing that Atma, knowing whom, yam jnatva, jantuhu mucchyate. And it's not simply knowing, so distinguishing that knower from avyaktam and understanding that knower is formless, abstract reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, taking ownership of that consciousness, ascertaining the fact that it is the consciousness, there's nothing beyond consciousness. It is this consciousness which is the truth of I. Having ascertained this fact, a person becomes liberated from bondage. Muchyate. Thereby what happens? Muchyate, he attains jivan mukti. Then when he exhausts his parabdha, lives his life, parabdha becomes exhausted, then amrutattam cha gacchati, he attains also videha mukti. Amrutattam gacchati means he attains videha mukti. So muchyate amrutattam cha gacchati, the two words are there. So muchyate should be taken for jivan mukti. Amrutattam gacchati should be taken for videha mukti, which means this person will be liberated from bondage of samsara for good. He will not be born again, assuming a body again. Why? Because when the ignorance becomes resolved for good, then ignorance is not destroyed here. Ignorance becomes resolved for good. Mind becomes resolved for good because all the emotions also will become resolved. Therefore, mind being not there, one will not be born again, assuming a body. This is the literal meaning of the 8th mantra. Now we are going to the next 9th mantra. Okay. What can Upanishad do repeatedly? What has been said already must be repeated. Only for emphasizing. So, yes, this is how the knowledge is. This is how knowledge is great, that it is this knowledge which alone can liberate a person from bondage. And this, of course, freedom from bondage is our ultimate choiceless goal. One has to attain jnanam. Now, we know the value of jnanam, but still this knowledge is very much dependent on prerequisite qualification is not just possible only if a person becomes mentally prepared. That mental preparedness should be taken care of. Otherwise, this absolute wisdom is not possible. Therefore, in this mantra, in the ninth mantra, Upanishad again goes back to the important teaching, that is emphasizing the mental preparedness as qualification required for the jnanam. Nasandrishe tishthati rupamasya. How Upanishad emphasizes that, we'll see here. Nasandrishe tishthati rupamasya. Na chakshusha pasyati kascha nainam. Na chakshusha pasyati kascha nainam. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklupto. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklupto. Yayetad vidhuramrutaste bhavanti. Na sandrishe tishthati rupamasya. Na chakshusha pasyati kascha nainam. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklaptah. Yayetad vidhuramrutaste bhavanti. Na sandrishe tishthati. Na sandadrishe. Na sandrishe tishthati rupamasya. Na chakshusha pasyati kascha nainam. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklaptah. Yayetad vidhuramrutaste bhavanti. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklapto. Yayetad vidhuramrutaste bhavanti. If you do not want to break it, then we can't have a breath there. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklapto. Yayetad vidhuramrutaste bhavanti. Hridamanesha manasa bhiklapto. Yayetad vidhuramrutaste bhavanti. Okay. Now he says, Na sandrishe tishthati. Na sandrishe tishthati. Asya rupam. So here the word asya is a sixth case form of the third person singular pronoun I am. Means this eshaha or I am. So, asya rupam means of the form of this. Form of this means what? The nature of this. So, this, the pronoun this indicates the Atma. Which is the Atma? Is all pervasive, only reality of the entirety of the cosmos, obtaining as the nearest self, as the truth of I, as one's own self. So the one's own nature of one's own self, which is the nature of the very reality of the whole. Asya rupa means the form of this Atma, which means the nature, essential nature of this Atma, natishthati. See, sandrishaha means the perception, seeing, visual perception. Visual perception is sandrishaha. Na tishthati, the nature of the reality, the nature of one's own self, does not remain within the range of one's visual perception. What does it mean? Atma swarupam is not available for sense perception. So, it's not only not available for visual perception, it's not available for perception through any of the sense organs. Simple, what does this one sentence say? Asya rupam na sandrishe na tishtati means it does not remain, does not fall within the range of one's perception through any of the sense powers. Which means, one word Bhagavad Gita, aprameyaha, atma aprameyaha. Aprameyaha means what? Not available for sense perception, imperceptible. This simple lesson, we know this very, how many times have been hearing? Why? Atma is the very truth of the perceiver knower. How can it be available for perception? Again, Upanishad repeats, na sandrishe tishtati asya rupam. Okay. Then, having said that, kaschana yenam na chakshusha pashyati. Kaschana yenam na chakshusha pashyati. Nakaschana, na pashyati, you can say, one does not see this Atma Swarupam through one's own eyes. How can the seer of the seeing power, seer of the seeing power, can be seen through the eye, seeing power? Seer of the seeing power cannot be seen through the seeing power, isn't it? Again, specifically it is said, first line says, Atma is not available for perception at all through any sense power. One does not see the Atma Swarupam through one's seeing power. Chakshusha na pashyati kaschana yenam. Yenam means is enam atmanam. One does not see this Atma through one's seeing power. One does not see this. You can say, or nakaschana pashyati, none sees this Atma. So the first two lines emphasize one fact, that Atma is imperceptible. You can never make use of your sense powers to discover Atma. Atma is the truth behind the sense power. Atma is available for perception. Atma is available for objectification. Then again, next line. Manasa abhikluptaha. Manisha. Hrida manasa abhikluptaha. Okay. So, manasa abhikluptaha. Manisha. Hrida, Manisha, Manasa, Abhikliptaha. So here, Manasa Abhikliptaha means it has to be arrived at only in the mind. Even though it says through the mind, by the mind. We have to understand Atma cannot be arrived at even as an object of thought, but it is available through the mind. Means we have to use the mind to arrive at the Atma, not as an object of thought, but as the very truth of the thought. Manasa abhikluptaha. Abhikluptaha means it revealed. What is revealed? Is revealed by the mind. Manasa abhikliptaha. Here, mind means, what it means is, manasa revealed by the mind means, is not that mind brings Atma to light. Mind helps as an instrument to arrive at the Atma as the very truth of the Atma. You have to go and search what the thought is, then you will arrive at the truth of the thought. Atma is available for knowledge as the truth of the thought, truth of the mind, not as an object of the mind. That manasa abhikluptaha. Therefore, hrida manisha. Hridamanisha here means this vision one can have of the Atma, where vision one can have through one's intellect. This vision of this Atma, being the truth of the mind, one can have through the intellect. Manisha here, the word Manisha really in the different context means firmness, conviction. In Manisha Panchakam, the word Manisha means firm knowledge. The conviction is Manisha. But here, Manisha here means the vision of the Atma being the truth of mind is attainable through the intellect. Manisha means here intellect, through the intellect. And where is this intellect? Hridi. See, Hrida should be taken as Hridi. The mantra had a word Hrida, which means the third case, but we should take it as Hridi. This intellect, this is Antahkaranam, is obtaining within one's own physical heart, the Golakam. Hridi means this intellect resides in, where is it intellect? Antahkaranam. Antahkaranam is the indriyam abiding in or obtaining within one's physical heart, which is a Golakam. That is where one can have the clear vision of the Atma as the truth of the mind. This is how we have to understand this third sentence, the complicated sentence. So Manasa Abhikliptaha means this Atma becomes revealed in the mind, not as an object of the mind, object of thought, but as the truth of the thought. And that vision happens where? Only in the intellect, obtaining within one's physical heart. The knowledge is in the intellect. That's what is mentioned here. Therefore, because where I, the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, that I am is what? Intellect only. Therefore, that is where you arrive at it as the truth of I. And yaha yetad viduhu, and whoever knows this truth, whoever knows this truth, knows this fact that Atma is available for recognition as the truth of the mind in one's own intellect, obtaining in one's own physical heart. Who discovers this fact, thereby who makes efforts to arrive, whoever arrives at this Atma, and that only. So here, yaha yetad viduhu, viduhu, you can say ye, not yaha, ye yetad viduhu. Yaha is a singular pronoun, relative pronoun. Ye is a plural relative pronoun. Ye yetad viduhu. Those people who are aware of this fact that Atma is available for recognition as this truth of I in the one's own intellect, obtaining within in the physical heart, and as the truth of the mind. So another fact is revealed. Not only Atma is not available for sense perception, Atma is not available for thought perception also. Atma is the very truth of the thought, and that vision happens where? On one's own intellect. How? As the one's own self. And those who discover this fact, thereby those who arrive at this true, arrive at the Atma, understand the Atma. Ye yetad viduhu, te amrutaha bhavanti. And such people who understand this fact, thereby who make efforts to arrive at the Atma, thereby who discover the Atma, who arrive at that Atma, who take ownership of Atma as their own self, such people definitely become liberated, attain immortal, become immortal. Amrutaha bhavanti, become immortal means they become free from bondage of samsara. They attain Videha Mukti. They attain Videha Mukti implies what? Definitely they attain Jivan Mukti and they attain Videha Mukti also. See, attaining Videha Mukti alone is said to be becoming immortal. Not that you're going to become immortal, you're ever of the nature of immortality and you claim immortality as your own nature. Thereby, when you free yourself from this bondage of death, you are said to be immortal. So those people alone attain, become immortal. Amrutaha bhavanti. Means they escape this bondage of samsara. They attain videha mukti. So again, Upanishad says this, which means, so what does it mean? Therefore, one has to make all possible efforts to prepare this mind, to prepare one's antahkaranam. Definitely, there must be intellectual sharpness so that one can discover the subtlest reality as the very truth of I. And for which mind must be stable. One must be emotionally stable. Intellectual sharpness presupposes emotional stability and also emotional mental purification. If a person is disturbed by emotions and a person cannot be mentally stable, a person will be dull and a person gross-minded, then it is not possible for one to have sharpness. So intellectual sharpness, emotional stability is very important because that is where Atma is available for recognition. It is the antahkaranam where Atma is available for recognition. That is where Atma becomes revealed to oneself. Not as object of thought, but as the truth of the thought. If you discover your own Surupam, then you can understand the light of your own Surupam of yourself. Atma is the truth of every thought. Okay. When we do the Bhashyam, we'll see more. Okay. Next mantra.
Yada panchavatishtante jnanani manasasaha buddhischana vicheshtati tamahuf paramam gatim. Yada panchavatishtante jnanani manasasaha buddhischana vicheshtati tamahuf paramam gatim.
Here, yada pancha avatishtante. So, tishtante is a verb, ava is a prefix. Okay. Pancha means five. Avatishtante. Yada pancha avatishtante. Jnanani manasasaha. Buddhishi cha na vicheshtati tam ahuhu paramam gatim. So very nice mantra. So yada, pancha is five. Five stand for what? Jnanani. Jnanam is a singular word. Jnanani, you know very well, it's a plural word. So jnanam literally means knowledge. But here in this context, the word, the instrument of knowledge also is said to be jnanam. See, we're very careful, okay? The word jnanam always means knowledge. The word jnanam means the reality which is of the nature of knowing. The manifest knowledge is also called jnanam. Knowledge of any object is knowledge. But here the word jnanam does not mean knowledge. It means the instrument of knowledge. So pancha jnanani means pancha jnana indriyani. Pancha jnanani is equal to pancha jnana indriyani. five instruments of knowledge, five organs of knowledge. Pancha jnanani avatishthante. Avatishthante means abide, remain. Tishthante, remain. Avatishthante means abide. So, yada pancha jnanani avatishthante, when five subtle powers which serve as instruments of knowledge abide. Abide in what? Abide in the Atma. Abide in one's own self. So, how can the instruments of knowledge abide? Along with the mind. Manasa saha. Manasa saha. Along with the mind, when the five subtle powers, the instruments of knowledge, abide in the Atma. What is abiding? Let me explain to you that. Buddhihicha na vicheshtati. Buddhihicha na vicheshtati. And the intellect also, na vicheshtati means does not become disturbed, does not waver. Na vicheshtati. Intellect also does not waver. Then what? Tada, that is what is said to be paramagatihi. What is paramagatihi? What is absolute end? What is ultimate goal? What is discovery of the truth? What do you mean by saying discovery of the truth? What is discovery of fullness of happiness? What is discovery of freedom? What is paramagatihi? How can you understand what is paramagatihi? Attaining paramagatihi, many people have the wrong thinking. I should sit in a place without moving an inch. That is not attainment of paramagatihi. Our people want to know something should happen. Some experience should happen. If you are waiting for some experience as paramagatihi, you have to be waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting forever. Never will happen any sin. Nothing will happen. People want to know, how do I know that I have accomplished it? What is the scale with which I can measure my moksha? I mean, I have accomplished it. What is paramagatihi? So Upanishad says, this is paramagatihi. Paramagatim tam paramagatim paramam gatim ahuhu. People call that as paramagatihi. That is what is paramagatihi. Who say that is paramagatihi? It is not you and I. It is not somebody else. Not somebody says this is paramagatihi. No. It is implied here. Our great rishi's state. Ahuhu means say. Who say this? Men of wisdom. Men of vision. Not ordinary men of vision and wisdom. Our own great sages, great rishis who had this vision revealed, who had this sarupam revealed to them, they say this. So that is implied. Okay, great sages, that is implied. Who say this? Tam paramam gatim mahatmanaha ahuhu, rishiyaha ahuhu. The great men of wisdom or vision are great sages, great seers. Call that as absolute end, ultimate goal. What is that? If all the sense powers abide in one's own self along with the mind, then the intellect also does not waver, then there is the accomplishment of absolute end, moksha. This is literal meaning. What does it mean? See, sense powers abiding in the Atma along with the mind means, let me make it very clear, mind abiding in Atma means if the perception of objects in the world, interaction with the world, does not cause any mental disturbance. You are interacting in the world with the world. You're experiencing things in the world. Still, no external situation does not cause any mental disturbance. Okay, there's no, when you see something, I want it, I like it. That like does not rise. I hate it. The dislike does not, no raga, no dvesha. Whatever you perceive, whichever object you perceive through any of the sense organs, wherever you perceive, whenever you perceive, however you perceive, whenever you interact with the world, then when you're contacting the world, the sense organs also, interacting with situations and people also, there is no like, there is no dislike, there is no jealousy, there is no hatred, there is no pain, there is nothing. No disturbance does raises. No disturbance means mind is abiding in the Atma, which means there is no erroneous self-perception. I sense is not anymore in the mind. I sense is not anymore in the intellect. I sense is not anymore in the sense organs or the physical body. Even though this wise person is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, even though he's interacting with the world, even though he's perceiving objects, wherever he is, whenever he is, however he is, no external situation causes any disturbance in the mind on the part of this person. Why? Because this person has objectivity. He's very objective, which means he does not take the body, mind, sense complex as the self, which means he has a very clear, ascertained understanding that I am Atma. How is it possible for him to have that vision? Because repeatedly he sees this fact. See, we all understand this fact in the class. After the class, immediately after the class, we close the book and keep it away and go away, and we do not dwell upon this. So repeatedly, a person who is capable of dwelling upon this fact, naturally for him, in due course of time, this fact becomes ascertained. See, understanding happens even in very few classes. But ascertainment needs it takes very long time. So repeatedly listening, again dwelling upon this fact, again, outside of the class hours also, in due course of time, will help a person ascertain this fact. If this fact becomes ascertained, then there is no more the self, there's no more fundamental problem. I am small, I am insecure, the fundamental problem is not there. Therefore, what happens, whatever happens externally, the problem of the world is not superimposed upon the self. I am disturbed, I am small, that fundamental, that wrong notion is not triggered. I am insecure, that notion is not triggered anymore. Therefore, no situation causes any disturbance. This person can remain calm. No, raga dveshas do not arise. There's neither like nor dislike. When the raga dveshas are not there, naturally, desires are not there. Which means there cannot be anger at all. Anger is possible only if there are raga dveshas. Raga dveshas are there, anger will be there. You can take it for granted. So anger will be resolved. If people ask, how can I get rid of anger? You can never get rid of anger unless and until the very perception of the self changes. So there'll be some, you can only manage anger until then. Then you're a polished mature individual, because you're capable of managing your anger. Okay. So if ragadvesha should be resolved, for anger to be resolved for good. Okay, why? Because this sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy is not at all triggered for a person because of his objectivity. If though this is not triggered, that cannot be triggered, then there cannot be ragadveshas. There will not be anger. If ragadveshas are not there, anger is not there, other emotions also will resolve. There cannot be other emotions, which means disturbance-free mind. The mind is disturbance-free, means you can say mind abides in the Atma. Understand? What is abundance of mind in one's own self? Because where has the mind gone? Mind has not gone anywhere. That's all. The thoughts do not rise, because that means mind abides in the Atma. The mind itself remains, mind itself abides in the Atma. What can the sense powers do? Sense powers, after all, being instruments of knowledge, they can only report to the mind. The reporters can just report, but they do not contribute for any mental disturbance, cannot contribute for any mental disturbance. If Atmajnanam is not there, objectivity is not there, fundamental problem is not resolved, definitely every time any sense organ reports, it will cause mental disturbance. Understand? That's why Krishna says, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukkhadaha. Whenever sense organs come in contact with the external world, they will contribute for what? Experience of pairs of opposites. There'll be like, there'll be dislike, it'll be there. But now Bhagavan says here, when the mind resolves, abides in the Atma, it's called abidance. Then naturally sense powers also cannot contribute for any mental disturbance. They also said to be abiding in the Atma along with the mind. Is it clear? So here Bhagavan says, the Upanishad says, when all five subtle powers which serve as instruments of knowledge abide in the mind, abide in one's own self along with the mind, because of objectivity, having resolved the fundamental problem, the clear vision of the Atma, then what happens? Buddhihi na vicheshtati. Intellect also does not waver. There's no need for, because it's a clear vision. Aham Atma, that vision is there. Then all that is there is only Atma, Vishnu will be there. This Jagat which seems to be there is actually Mithya. Jagat is Brahma. You can see the gross material world as subtlest Brahma because it has no independent existence. Then what is there for the mind to intellect to waver? Therefore, intellect also does not waver. Buddhihi na vicheshtati. Because the thirst for knowledge becomes quenched for good. Otherwise, there'll be inadequacy. The thirst for knowledge becomes quenched. In spite of being ignorant of many things in the world, always this ignorance is as big as the universe. As big as the world, still the thirst for knowledge becomes quenched where there is vision of the absolute reality. Therefore, intellect also does not waver. Okay, and what is that? That is what is the absolute end. That is what is freedom. That is what is moksha. Ka paramagatihi, what is absolute end? What is moksha? It is not experience, okay? You're not experiencing anything here. In spite of all experiences, you just remain as yourself. You are yourself amidst experiences. That is what is paramagathi. We'll discuss it again. Again, with the Bhashyam, we are going to see the whole text. We'll be repeating this Kathopanishad with the Bhashyam. It'll become much clearer. Definitely, I request all of you not to miss any of those classes. That is how Kathopanishad will become assimilated. Now, you're always just touching the book and getting to know the mantras. What is here? Okay. Tam yogamiti manyante. Tam yogamiti manyante. Sthiramindriyadharanam. Sthiramindriyadharanam. Apramattastada bhavati. Yogohi prabhavapyayau. Tam yogamiti manyante sthiramindriya dharanam apramattastada bhavati yogohi prabhavapyayau yogohi prabhavapyayau tam indriya dharanam Yogam iti manyante. Yogam iti manyante. See, manyante is a verb here. So, manyante means think, consider. So, who consider? Again, we had subject is not mentioned. We have to take wise people consider. Rishis consider. Mahatmas consider. Okay. Consider what is here? Yogam iti. This is what is taken as yoga. This is what is taken to be yoga, said to be yoga. Yogam means yogaha. What is yogaha? Yoga means what is knowledge? Indriya dharanam yoga iti manyante. Yogam iti manyante. Indriya dharana, not dharanam, dharana. See, dharana means placing something upon something is called a dharana. Dharayati. But here, indriya dharana means the calmness of sense organs. We can say the poisonous of sense organs is indriya dharana. Not sthira is adjective here. Sthira indriya dharana. Sthira means firm poise of the sense organs. Sthira indriya dharana. If a person has sthira indriya dharana, steady poise of sense organs, that is yoga. This is what sages say. So as I said already, what is sthira indriya dharana? What does it mean by saying having a steady, firm poise of the sense organs? What does it mean? We'll see that. Then, if a person has that steadiness in terms of sense organs, poise of the sense organs, then the person who has that is said to be yogi. And that person, apramattaha bhavati. Apramattaha bhavati. So even bhavati, if you take as bhavet, a person should become conscious. A person should become alert. Apramattaha bhavati should be taken as bhavet. Yogaha hi prabhava apyayau. Prabhavaha apyayaha cha. So prabhava apyayau. Yogaha hi prabhava apyayau. Means prabhavaha means rising and apyaha means falling. Prabhavaha means origination, apyaha means resolution. Literally it means prabhavaha origination, apyaha resolution. So but here if you take it as rise and fall, yogaha prabhavaha, yogaha apyaha means what? Yoga is subject to rise and fall. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. So what does it actually say? What is sthira indriya dharana? When you say the yogi should become alert, means what? What does it mean by saying the yoga is subject to rise and fall? All these things we'll discuss in tomorrow's class. Okay? This 11th mantra, we will definitely do from the beginning. We're going to reread the mantra and we'll see the complete explanation in tomorrow's class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.